Good morning.
Good
to see you in the house of the Lord on this day the Lord has made. We have reason to rejoice and an invitation if you would like to process with a palm branch down the center aisle and then return to your seat afterwards. Would ask you at this time to gather in the lobby where our choir and school children are assembled. And as we're preparing to do that, just consider this thought. Do you know what percentage of the population has 20/20 vision? 35% have this gift. Can it be lost? Yes, and so the encouragement to take care of our eyesight. Now, for the rest of us, through the gift of lenses, we can improve our vision. And so again, with any gift, we don't want to take it for granted. We want to take care of it, in this case, our eyesight. There are people who do lose their vision, or maybe they never had it. Now, thankfully, whether we have vision or do not have it does not impact having a relationship with Jesus. But there are similarities on the topic of eyesight and faith, and that's what we want to explore on this Palm Sunday. God save us, and He has, as we learn once again through this Holy Week. Let us now continue with our processional song.
Oh,
We continue now with the invocation on page 3. God our Father, each day is a gift of your grace. Guide our steps by the light of your word. Better than life is your love. Praise be to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lamentations 3, this I call to mind.
And therefore I have hope.
Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail.
They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
I say to myself,
the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him.
The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, though he brings grief, he will show compassion.
So great is his unfailing love.
For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men.
Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord.
Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Almighty and merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed what we have devised and desired in our hearts. We have offended you and sinned against your holy law.
We have done those things that we should not have done, and we have not done those things that we should have done. Have mercy on us, Lord. Spare us, forgive us, and restore us, according to your promises in Christ Jesus.
God, our merciful Father, has forgiven our sins. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Redeemer and Savior. Jesus paid the penalty for our guilt by his death on the cross and freed us from death by his resurrection from the grave. We have peace with God now and forever.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Let us give glory to God, our light and our life.
Let us worship.
Let us pray. We praise you, O God, for the great acts of love by which you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ. As he was acclaimed by those who scattered their garments and branches of palms in his path, so may we always hail him as our King and follow him with perfect obedience. Psalm 119, your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens.
Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures.
How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth.
I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore,
a fitting introduction as we turn our attention to the word of our Lord for this Palm Sunday, a reading from Holy Scripture, Isaiah 45. We are reminded of the fact that true righteousness along with true strength are found in and come through the Lord. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, my mouth has uttered in all integrity, a word that will not be revoked. Before me every knee will bow, by me every tongue will swear. They will say of me, in the Lord alone are deliverance and strength. All who have raged against him will come to him and be put to shame. But all the descendants of Israel will find deliverance in the Lord and will make their boast in him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you.
Dear friends, what is keeping us from living a God-pleasing life? Think of that question as we hear these words, a reading from Holy Scripture, Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
On page 8, we have our next song. We are singing. We'll sing it as noted on the top of page 8.
Thank you.
Please stand for this portion of the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, Luke chapter 19, pointing out the fact that Jesus is worthy of honor and praise and glory. God help us show that we believe this. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.'" Please be seated. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to
you, Lord. Let us now sing our hymn of the day, "All Glory, Loud and Honor."
Thank you.
Something remains yours in great abundance, and that is God's grace and His mercy and His peace. And this thanks to our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our meditation this morning. We turn back to these words from Hebrews 12, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who thankfully was willing to humble himself and be our substitute and win for us an eternal victory. When do you have a tendency to appreciate what you have or perhaps what you had? More often than not, it takes losing something that we have had for us to appreciate it. Now, this could range from losing a treasured pocket knife that you forgot to take out of your pocket when you went through security at the airport. It could be the loss of a job, loss of our health, loss of our house, loss of a loved one. And the list could go on and on, from the not so serious to the serious. Why does it take a near loss or a complete loss to go, duh, I should have appreciated this or that while I had it? Now, this can apply even to our eyesight. Why does it take, for example, a near miss cutting a piece of wood or trimming grass for us to realize we should have been wearing safety glasses? What is so macho about not wearing glasses and then getting hit in the eye? Now, while losing something of earthly value is one thing and bad enough, think of how many people are losing out on what gives them eternal value. And perhaps you know some of these people very well. They're close to us. Now, what gives our life eternal value calls for vision. Not vision on ourselves, but rather vision on the one whom God has sent to give our lives eternal value. This brings us then to the importance of Palm Sunday, as it introduces a very important week, not just for Christians, but really for the entire world, whether the entire world recognizes it or not. Now, Jesus, he had vision, perfect vision. He knew what was ahead of him in a few short days, and he was still willing to get on that donkey and ride into Jerusalem. Thankfully, he had no problem with his vision and seeing what was ahead and going through with it. And as we then focus on Jesus and his perfect vision, that allows us to do what the writer to the Hebrews encourages us to do, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. For what purpose? So that we do not grow weary and lose heart, because in this life, that can too easily happen. And so the encouragement, dear friends, let us not grow weary and lose heart. And one way to do that is by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. The reason why ought to be obvious, right? Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith, our text reminds us of. It starts with and continues with Him. And what's at the heart of that faith, which Jesus is the author and perfecter of? Good Friday, Easter Sunday. He did that for you. He did that for me. and for the entire world, becoming our vicarious atonement, our substitute on the cross. He did that for us. What he was willing to do, to come in human flesh, humbly taking that on himself, living under the requirements of the law as we are under the requirements of God's law, and fulfilling that law perfectly, which we cannot do. Knowing what that meant, that he was showing himself to be the one who was promised to be the perfect sacrifice necessary to atone for our sins. And then willingly giving up his life on the cross. That indeed makes him the author and perfecter of our faith. He suffered for a reason, for us. And he endured. "It is finished," he declared. Our sin, all sin, past, present, future, sins in our thoughts, in our words, and in our actions, all paid for, mind-blowing. And yet he said, "It is finished." Not could be finished, and not might be finished if you do X and Y and Z. No, it is finished, complete. Use whatever language you want to get that across. It is finished. Praise the Lord. And because it is finished, we have the ability to have perfect eyesight. Maybe not with our physical eyes, but with eyes of faith. And what also then helps him be the author and perfecter of faith, the writer to the Hebrews emphasizes, he's sitting back in heaven. Again, as we know, not just sitting around wondering what to do next. No, he is continually interceding for us on our behalf. And he is ruling over all things in heaven and on earth, even though at times it does not seem like it here on earth. But he is. Because again, this is not our permanent home. And so when things are not going well here on earth, that's a reminder that this is temporary. We got eyesight that's focused on something way more valuable and eternal. He is sitting down at the right hand of his heavenly Father. Perfect tense, completed. The work is done, and he's there, continuing his work of intercession and ruling over. Until that time, he will return as judge of both the living and the dead. And so the reason, dear friend, right, is obvious why we should continue to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Just knowing what the events of Good Friday and Easter bring about helps us not grow weary and lose heart. But the Lord needs to give us this reminder because he knows it's not easy to do, right? I mean, sin keeps creeping back in, and we've confessed that sin, and boom, the next day it's there. Maybe not even the next day. It doesn't take that long. Sin in the thought might be lust, might be hatred, might be self-righteousness. And then actions and words of harm and danger, whether to ourselves or to someone else. I mean, that sin just keeps creeping back in. And then the guilt of our sins. Boy, Lord, I tried to get rid of that sin, and it keeps coming back. And then there's guilt. Lord, how can you forgive me? And so we get weary and we lose heart because that sin never seems to leave. But it's been paid for, but our emotions don't always match up with our eyesight of faith. And then throughout this life, you know, we should be running a marathon through life, but we end up trying to run sprints through life. And what happens when you run a sprint, especially when you're not in shape? You can't even make 25 yards. And you're huffing and you're puffing. Isn't that how we treat God, though? God, I want it now! You promise, I want it now! I want good health, Lord, now! Not tomorrow, now, today! If it doesn't come, well, Lord, then you must not be God. And we treat God like a genie. We rub the bottle and he gives us three wishes. And if he doesn't give us those three wishes, well, then I'll find another God. And we grow weary and lose heart as we treat God as a genie rather than the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who has our best interests in mind and has proven it Good Friday, Easter Sunday. And doesn't he prove that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords every day of our life? The sun rises, the sun sets. Food aplenty. Yes, people are starving, but it's not because he hasn't provided the plenty. Is there pain in the world? Yes. And the Lord said there would be pain in this world. He's not an advocate of it, but he is very clear. With sin has come the consequences, which vary, and one of those consequences being pain in the world. Whether it be physical pain, mental pain, the pain of losing a loved one. Even though he has allowed this pain as a consequence of sin in the world, he provides a way to deal with it so that we do not grow weary or lose heart, or that we don't stay in our weariness and hopelessness state. He reminds us then to go back and fix your eyes on Jesus so that you will not grow weary and lose heart, that you will not stay in that, because there is something better still for you. But in the meantime, I'm going to give you what you need to get through. I may not provide the physical healing, but I'm going to provide you the grace which is sufficient to get through it. And as we stay connected to the Word, our eyesight continues to see that, our eyes of faith. And thus the importance then, as the writer points out, to keep nurturing our faith in Jesus so that we do not grow weary and lose heart. He says, therefore, chapter 11, the Heroes of Faith chapter. If you haven't read it in a while, go back and read it sometime. Just not right now. Read it sometime. They're there for a reason, those heroes of faith. Were they perfect? No. What made them heroes of faith was not what they did, but who they believed. Jesus and what he was going to do. They focused on him through eyes of faith. And their life backed it up. Again, perfectly? No. But by the grace of God, they knew where to center their vision. They were salt and light. King David, for example, perfect? No way. First to admit it. Psalm 32. But he knew where his hope lies. Psalm 51. He was still salt and light. Is your life perfect? No. None of us can say that. But can we be still salt and light? Yes, by the grace of God. And point people to the source of our light, Jesus. Not only then are we given the heroes of faith to imitate, to review as a source of guidance in our life, but more importantly, we've been given the means of grace, the gospel and word and sacrament, which gives us the gift of faith, connects us to Jesus, and through an ongoing diet of the means of grace, keeps us connected to Jesus and keeps our eyesight where it needs to be. I mean, to not use the means of grace is like not using protective eyewear when looking at lasers. The means of grace keeps our vision sharp. It keeps us in shape. And again, another way to look at it, along with the eyesight example, is, and if we are dabbling with a diet, are we going to expect to have success in that diet? Is it really any different when we dabble with the means of grace? Do we really expect to have the vision that God has for us? I mean, even the strongest of Christians at times will grow weary and lose heart. But the more we are connected to the means of grace, the quicker we can get bolstered back up again and help see the bigger picture of life, how God can even use the trial and tribulation for our good, Romans 8:28. The Scripture is beautifully tied together, and the more we are in the Scriptures, the more we can see that. So let us not dabble in the Word. Let us digest it regularly. Keeping in mind, this is a marathon through life. Whether we live one day or 100 years, treat it as a marathon. Life is full of hurdles, things that will hurt us, hurt our vision. But God is aware of that. And so he gives us what we need to jump over the hurdles, to get through them, to work around them, to keep our eyesight whole. He reminds us in Psalm 46, for example, "Be still and know that I am God. I got you." Run the marathon, not the sprint. And so to help us run that marathon, he reminds us to throw off everything that would keep us from running that marathon. Or even think of a swimmer. Right? I mean, there's a reason why they shave their bodies and why they wear those slim clothing, so they can glide through the water better. Throw off whatever would keep you from making better time. And when it comes to our life, our marathon run with God, throw off whatever it is day after day. Throw off that sin, that doubt. Give it up to Jesus. Will it come again the next day? Probably. But his mercies are new every morning. He knows it. He prepares us to deal with it. Because you're struggling doesn't mean Good Friday and Easter didn't happen. They happened. And because of that, we do not have to grow weary and lose heart, even as we struggle through this life. The victory already has been won. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Holy Week reminds us of that once again. And so keep your eyes of faith focused on Jesus. And then help others do the same as they're struggling with life, as they're being all entangled with the sins and the worries and the cares of this world. Encourage them, point them, help them, throw it off, fixing their eyes on Jesus. Because again, God does not say, just get over it and does nothing about it. He says, I'm going to help you get through this and I'm going to give you what you need to do it. I've given you my son. I've given you the word. I've given you one another. Praise God for your physical eyesight. And for the means that's been provided to help protect our eyesight for as long as it can. Do what it takes to keep that eyesight protected, for it is a blessing, a gift from God. And yet, thankfully, people can survive without their eyesight. Even more valuable then, and even more than we want to protect, is our spiritual eyesight. Because no one can hold on to their eternal value without it. Dear friends, let us not grow weary. Let us not lose heart. Keep your eyes always fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, a faith he wants others to have too. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's now confess our Christian faith using these words of confession of faith on page 10.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
What are we meaning to say with these words?
I believe that I cannot, by my own name or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or God's man. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith.
In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith.
In this Christian church, he daily and fully forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, he will raise me from all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ.
This is most certainly true. You may be seated. As we continue with our next song, You Are God, We Praise You, please note that we, the congregation, will join in the bold typed words. Turn to the prayer of the church on the top of page 12. We pray, grant us, O Lord, to live each day in gladness and peace, without stumbling and without stain, that reaching the evenings victorious over all temptation, we may praise you, the eternal God, for you govern all things and are praised now and forever. Make us instruments of your peace where there is hatred, where there is injury,
pardon.
Where there is doubt,
faith.
Where there is despair,
hope.
Where there is darkness,
light.
Where there is sadness,
joy.
O Lord, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. Dwell in our homes, O Lord, and let the trust of our families be centered in you alone, so that no difficulty, trial, or adversity rob us of the conviction that you are our helper in every time of need. Relieve the afflictions of the weary and the sick, and dry the tears of the troubled and sorrowful. Lead them to look to you as the unfailing spring of healing and hope.
Help us believe and trust in him, love and serve him.
O Lord of heaven and earth and sea, to you all praise and glory be. How can we thank you properly who gives us all? Dear Lord, from you we all derive our life, our gifts, our power to give. Oh, may we ever with you live who gives us all. Lord, thank you for watching over Zoe Malone and family during the last few weeks. May your name be praised for the medicine that has been made available for Zoe. Thank you also for the recoveries you are giving to Rod Gunter, Arnold Detmer, and Gary Wertheim. Be with Jack Fox and family as they mourn the earthly passing of their mother who died this past week, along with the family of Rick and Diane Bishop as they mourn the earthly passing of their mother Helen. May your name be praised for the hope these families have to hold on to at a time such as this, a hope rooted in our crucified and risen Savior. For those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth, thank you, Lord. You have watched over them through life to this point, and we trust you will continue to have them be a blessing to us and we to them. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
And we also pray,
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation. And bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Morning again. Great to see each and every one of you here in our house of worship on this day. If just to highlight to help our eyesight, spiritual eyesight throughout the week, on page 15, there are some reflection questions, so those will help you. Please use them for that purpose. Connect cards, if you haven't filled out one of those blue Connect cards, please take the time to do so. You can return them in the basket there in the lobby on the table with the lamp on it. And then also, please take the time to meet and greet one another, to say hi, catch up, how you're doing, and so forth, and encourage one another with a word of encouragement. Even the word hi to somebody can be a great word of encouragement. Bible study, we do have Bible study taking place in about 15 minutes here in the church proper. We're still looking at the passages which serve as the foundation for Handel's Messiah, so interesting Bible study. If you want to take a palm branch home, you're welcome to do so and help you through the week. Maybe just, again, another way to help our eyesight, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. During the month of April, as noted in the weekly news, we're trying to update our app directory. If you'd like your picture updated or to have your picture added, please at some point at a worship service or after the worship service, find Stacy or Aaron. They'll be in the lobby by the Visitor Welcome Center. And they'll take your picture, and we'll get it added. If you have any contact information that needs updated, that can be done there too. If you can't make it in the month of April to have that done, you feel like May is going to be a better picture month for you, that's okay. Just let Stacy or Aaron know. We'll work that out. Holy Week services, again, we have invitations by the Welcome Center. If you want to take them out, they're on a yellow handout. But Monday, Thursday, 6:30, celebrating the Lord's Supper at that service. Good Friday, 1 o'clock and 6:30, slightly different services. And then Easter Sunday, 8 and 10:45, with a light breakfast in between in our multi-purpose center. So those are our services for Holy Week. We do have a campus cleanup day scheduled for Saturday on the 16th. If you can come and help, even for a half hour, an hour, that would help. Various weeding beds and so forth. There'll be a sign up here on that day what areas need help. And then to seek the weekly news for other things that are going on here at church and school. 2030s will be meeting today. There was still a question mark of what the event will be. So if you're not on the 2030 Facebook page, you can probably meet here at 5:30 and get the instructions and where to go from there. So keep that in mind. Have an awesome day in the Lord. His mercies are new today too. Thank you. Oh, the Wells connection. I'm sorry.
Hi, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. Risen Savior, started as a home mission church in Lakewood Ranch, Florida, recently became a self-supporting congregation. In August of 2020, they opened a preschool. In addition to teaching children about Jesus, the congregation has been active, connecting and building bridges to parents.
It's Harvest Festival at Risen Savior, a fun, festive family event for the children who attend the church's preschool. But there's something else going on here. Members of the congregation, even those without small children, are here too. They're connecting with parents, creating an inviting atmosphere, and building relationships.
We've invited our congregational members to come and just to be a part of the school and to get to know the children and the families and trying to merge those two into one family.
Building that connection between the classroom and the church has been a special focus for Risen Savior's preschool director, Maria Hines, and the entire congregation.
God called me. He just placed in my heart a special place for these young children. Doing the early childhood ministry, it's not just about the children, but we are ministering to our parents that are coming in, and the way to do that, building those relationships with them.
The growing Lakewood Ranch area attracts young families with children. Seeing this growth, Risen Savior realized a children's ministry could help them connect more families to the gospel message.
And as we got to know our community, we saw there is a big need for Christian education, and especially at the preschool level. And God has been richly blessing it the last year and a half with a lot of families who are coming and giving us a lot of opportunities to share Christ with them.
Case in point is the Davis family, who are new to the area, without a church home, looking for quality education. They enrolled their son, Billy.
How great it was for Billy, really. In those first few weeks, even he would come home and talk about God and talk about...
And sing his cute little songs, and it was so cute.
And those kinds of things, which kind of brought us back to maybe, you know, that we should be a little bit more involved and get him growing up in a church community.
The preschool has grown from 20 students to over 70, with a waiting list. Families like the Davises are part of that growth. In addition, Risen Savior is working to daughter a mission church in Parrish. Certainly, these blessings are from the Lord and demonstrate how He is working through many church members.
The goal is a warm, welcoming environment where someone walks into our congregations or our schools and feels connected right from the get-go, that there are people there that care about them.
Our Synod has developed a program to help congregations everywhere build that bridge from children's ministries and schools to church membership. It's called Telling the Next Generation.
The purpose of Telling the Next Generation is help a congregation have a plan. When they come, how do we connect with them? How do we build relationships? And then how do we connect them with Jesus?
Our quality schools bring people to our doors. But the next step, church membership, doesn't happen automatically. It requires an intentional effort by all of us to reach out to school families as we reflect an atmosphere of Christian love.
As you've seen, the blessings at Risen Savior have led to efforts to plant a new home mission church 20 minutes north in Parrish, Florida, just east of Tampa Bay. We pray the Lord blesses this new mission to connect with many more families, young and old, so more souls can hear about Jesus Christ. Learn more and stay updated on progress at wells.net/homemissions.